people have powerful feelings about the traffic in Los Angeles, it says something that local officials warned motorists about a temporary road work closure on the 405 last year by calling it Carmageddon. Angelenos took the hint, and this weekend they're expected to steer clear of the latest 405 closure, named, of course, Carmageddon 2. That's how it is in L.A., a snarl of overstuffed freeways and commuters who keep their cool, except when they don't. KPCC's Stephen Cuevas has this profile of a punk rocker whose music expresses the insanity of L.A. traffic while extolling the virtues of public transit.
Couple of things you need to know about Eddie Solis. He lives in L.A., loves the band Kiss, and does not own a car.
Being someone who's from L.A., born and raised, and, you know, having a few cars in my past, I saw the city much differently through a different perspective through the eyes of a bus rider.
Want to just go all the way to the back?
Sure. Line 18, Wilshire Western Station.
Just steps from the front door of his home, across the street from a tortilla factory in L.A.'s Boyle Heights neighborhood, Solis catches a bus that connects him with the city's subway and the commuter train he catches to his day job at an indie record label in Hollywood.
It just opened me up to, like, little neighborhoods, galleries, clubs, bars, just everything. Just seeing what's out there, little pockets of the city.
Solis's journeys aboard L.A. buses and subway cars informs a lot of the material on The New Los Angeles Part 1, Through the Eyes of a Bus Rider, the latest release by the singer-guitarist band It's Casual. In Solis's vision of a new Los Angeles, people abandon their cars, climb aboard public transit, and rediscover their communities. One song extols the virtues of the L.A. County Metropolitan Transit Agency's Easy Pass and the urban underbelly it introduces to the rider.
And that's a nod and homage to, you know, the people who know what you can even go cheaper and really beat the system and really steer away from spending money on gas and oil profits and all that. Is all it takes for me to witness racial tension, for me to witness illegal aliens. It's not to paint a negative picture, it's just my perspective of what is seen.
Off the bus and back on the street, we make our way past a jazz saxophonist playing for pocket change and down a long escalator to catch a train.
So, where are we now?
We're at the Red Line station, the Pershing Square station in downtown L.A.
And what's our destination?
We're going to go down Fairs, another tier, and about 5 minutes we're going to get on the Red Line going northbound.
Okay, yeah. Let's go.
The Metro Red Line snakes from North Hollywood to downtown Los Angeles. It's the train that inspired It's Casual's signature tune and spawned a viral internet video. It was partly filmed late at night on a moving train as it hurtles from station to station. Solis thrashes away on his guitar and barks the lyrics, which celebrate the Red Line and call out the congested freeways that coil around Los Angeles.
Este es un tren de Metro Red Line a North Hollywood.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice.
The thread that comes out of the record that ties everyone together is just like, be alive, don't be a victim of having a car.
MTA spokesman said he couldn't comment on Eddie Solis's furious pro-Metro message, but the Red Line video was a hit at the offices of Move LA.
Eddie's done a good job. Thank you, Eddie.
It's the public transportation advocacy group headed by former Santa Monica Mayor Denny Zane. He liked the juxtaposition of Solis blissfully riding L.A. public transit in one scene with scenes of the band raging against those notorious freeway jams.
Eddie is all frantic when he talks about highways, and so mellow when he's like grooving on a skateboard and on the bus and on the Red Line. There's a metaphor for the transformation, you know, from the, oh my God, I just got to get out of the traffic, to, hey, this is cool. I can mellow out.
Or you can blast the tune like Too Many People as you claw your way across Los Angeles by car, bus, or skateboard. Too Many People could also be a motto for It's Casual. Over the years, the band whittled itself down to a power duo of Solis and a rotating cast of drummers. So you may think the burly, bearded punk rocker just can't get along with freeways, with people, or his native LA. Not true.
I love it. I love everything about it. I've traveled throughout the U.S. many times, and I could never look forward enough to coming back. The weather, the different cultures, the landscape. I was just like, you know what? Now I know everyone moves to L.A.
Solis will bring the love and the volume during a Red Line mini tour next month. It's Casual will play a different venue within walking distance of several Red Line metro stops from Union Station to West Hollywood. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas.
That's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. Our director this week is Nina Thorson. Seal Muller is our technical producer. We had additional engineering from Danny Bringer and Howard Gelman. Thanks to Hank Hadley at KCBX. Our online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. Our interns are Catherine Borgeson and Rachel Johnson. Tyke Hendricks is our elections editor with production help from Tina Lauerberg. We had editing support from Paul Rogers. Victoria Malione is our associate senior producer. Ingrid Becker is our senior producer. The news director is Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens in schools at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information at chevron.com.
The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the 210, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 210, the 605, the freeways are not so nice. The I-5, the I-10. The I-5, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The 101, the 405, the freeways are not so nice. The 605, the 101, the 101, the 101, the I-10, the 210, the 605, the 101, the 405, the I-10, the freeways are not so nice. The red light.
Welcome to the 77th episode of Los Angeles Nista. I'm your host and producer, Edward Solis. Tonight, this afternoon actually, is the second part of a Ball Heights episode with in-studio guests Abraham Quiddle from Samitas Poblana La China And we're going to get into it right after this break. Thank you very much.
Hello, I'm Isabel Rojas Williams with the Mural Conservancy of Los Angeles. You're listening to LA Nista at SkidRowStudio.com.
This episode of Los Angeles Nista is brought to you by La Mascota Bakery, a family-owned business serving the community since 1952. Tamales and sweetbread, made the old-fashioned way daily.
Yeah. yourself.
All right, welcome to the 77th episode of Los Angeles Nista. It's a Long Beach / Boyle Heights episode, and it's part two of the Samitas La Poblano.
La China Poblana.
now I know what it is, but I'm just going off the top of my head. I just try to, you know, you're here to whip me into shape with the name. And in my head, I always pass by and I see Samitas, and that's what I think it is.
It really is. Yeah. That's the big name. So that's the unforgettable baseline.
Yeah, you guys are smart. You guys are smart for putting that out there. It's all about, in business, it's about keeping things simple and clear.
That's right.
Right. Now, I wanted to ask you, Abraham, I bragged about all the Samitas you've given me. And I've gladly ate them. And I try to explain what Milanesa was to certain people.
Right.
Now, when you make the Samita, we went over the fact that it's not like a torta. It's we already went, you know, thoroughly over those components that are in a torta and are in the Samita that you make at your restaurant. Now, the Milanesa meat, when someone said, "What's Milanesa?" I really didn't have an answer for them. So can you, as a Samita expert,
right,
explain what it is?
Well, yeah, thank you for having me here once again. Thank you for everybody listening to. I just want to say thank you to all the veterans. Yesterday was Veterans Day. That was really important. Also to the TSA family of Hernandez. You know, our blessings are with you and our prayers. So going back again to the Milanesa, it really comes down to something being breaded. It's called, in Latin America, it's called empanizado. A lot of the food can be empanizado. It's just basically the meat, and it's soaking it with like either milk or eggs or a combination of
like
the
breaded
stuff.
Yeah,
and then you dip it on the milk, and then you bread it. So Milanesa is really la carne. That's the name of it. La carne is called Milanesa. You can fry it. It's kind of like asada un poco, but it's not really the same type of style as a carne asada, because there's different type of steak, you know. As
right.
You know.
Many different types. So actually breading it, I mean, everyone has their own way of breading it.
Right.
That's your secret recipe that you're not going to give away, obviously, but because it's a trade secret.
Oh, I gave the general, you know, consensus of what it is.
Like just the gray area of what you do, you know, overall. But that's what it is.
That's really what it is. It's empanizando the meat. Milanesa, you can empanizar. Because we get that all the time when from people from Latin America come to La China Poblana. They hear, okay, me da una milanesa de pollo. That means from that moment and instance, I can tell that these are first customers, because you know, we just call it pollo, you know, in Puebla or in Mexico, it's pollo. Pero obviamente the right way of saying it is pollo empanizado.
Okay, gotcha. Let's go back really quick. You know, before you started your interview, you wanted to make a point to give a nod to the veterans. And, you know, that's very important to you. I mean, it just feels like there's a lot of things happening in the world, and these people who serve the country don't get recognition, you know.
Right.
There's a lot of people that have fought in wars living in the streets, you know, and that's sad that they're veterans. So right. I think it's really admirable that you wanted to take time to highlight them.
Right. Well, it's just, you know, they put their lives at risk so we could do our diligence in life, so we can have, you know, go to the park, so we can live a normal life. So we just gotta take the time to appreciate them. I know we have one day, a holiday, but we need to have more than just a holiday. It should be an every year and every day commitment to acknowledging them and respecting them and giving them the benefits. I was just reading this magazine. This one of every four homeless person is a war veteran.
That's 25%, a quarter.
That's incredible. Like, how can that be? How can this happen in the United States, where these war vets serve their country? They're diligence, and they went out of their way to be brave and give us protection, and they don't have anywhere to live.
It just sounds very off balance and not responsible on our end. When I say our end, I mean the government. How can you let people come? It's kind of like slave labor.
Right.
You know, how can you let someone come and sacrifice so much and then not send them off when they're done with their tenure, knowing that, okay, they're going to be, you know, not going to be rich, but they're not homeless. They're going to have a fixed income. We're going to set them up with a fixed income so they could live in an apartment or rent a house.
Right.
And live modestly and be above water. Have the lights on and food in the refrigerator. How come they can't set them up that way, you know?
I think over the last, I would say, since 15 years, there's been a lot of programs that are helping veterans, war veterans, as far as, like, you know, there is the psychological aspect when they come back, you know, they have, like, you know, a lot of nightmares and combat, things like that. And there's also a lot of programs where now first-time home buyers for war vets, they get a lot of kickbacks and a lot of price reductions, and there's a lot of that. But so these are just new programs that have been installed locally over the last 20 years or so. So we're talking about those other war vets from Vietnam, from those other wars that are falling through the cracks.
Right. And the first Gulf War.
Yeah.
Stuff
they're
like
falling
that.
Through the cracks of those programs. And maybe they went through depression and alcoholism and
drug abuse or
drug
something.
Drug abuse.
Yeah.
And that's just the sad reality that we live in. And so I there is no clear solution to this problem. But there has to be some more, there needs to be more out there, a conscious thinking of what's going on in the world.
Do you have a personal connection to someone that's a veteran?
I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends from high school, from college. My parents don't. I don't have any family members, but I do have close friends
that you care for.
Yeah, definitely. And I see them when they come back. They're not the same people. And as you expect when you go through some kind of trauma size and magnitude, you just realize that wow, these guys are brave individuals, and I'm always out there trying to do something for them, and you know, even if it's not much, even like yesterday, there was a war vet that came by, La Semita Latina Poblana. He's now a cop. He lives in Monterey. Jerry, that was his name. So we were just chatting it up, and you know, I gave him a free semita, and he didn't want to take it. And I was like, come on, you know, you're a war vet. And so he's all like, no, don't worry about it. I'm good, you know, save it for the next guy. And he ended up paying, but you know, for me, I would have done anything.
You gladly would have given him that and probably some more if he would have taken it.
Yeah.
But he was like, no. I mean, that's how honorable these people are, you know? Like, they were like, you know, they've done so much. And he's still like, no, I won't take it. If anyone deserves it, it's him.
It's definitely them. So,
you know,
I you know, he, there's just people like that that they're just so like, you know, stand up guys, you know, like stand up people, you know, like, you know, they're committed to the being justice, having justice, and, you know, and not everybody wants a handout. So you can respect that.
That's cool. Now let's switch us over to Long Beach. You know, with this radio show that I do here, I'm always excited because we highlight different areas. And the first part of your interview last week, you know, we talked about Boyle Heights, obviously, because that's where your family business is anchored to.
Right.
But you reside in Long Beach. And I've been doing a lot of Long Beach episodes. And you know what? No matter how many you do with different in-studio guests, you always have a different perspective because everyone is different.
Right.
Now, you know, on Halloween, the Queen Mary, they contacted me and were like, hey, you should come down and check out the Dark Harbor. So I went, awesome. I went out and they hooked it up because the radio show, and I was very grateful for that. And, you know, they wanted to make sure I was taken care of. So I had front of the line passes and VIP with free tacos and beer.
Oh,
and
great.
I was
what
like,
more can you ask?
So well. I was like, this is amazing. You know, this is like, you know, part of being part of a media outlet, and they wanted the coverage. So, you know, I was able to enjoy some of what Long Beach has to offer on that scale of a big eventful holiday, you know, event.
Right.
And it was just great. And I had nothing great things to say about it. And then I did a episode with professional skateboarder Derek Fukuhira, who rides for World Industries, Ezekiel Clothing, and he also rides for Bones Wheels. And, you know, he travels the world. He went to, you know, Guadalajara to go skate and, you know, skate their spots and, you know, film them and, you know, all that stuff. So
right.
He's constantly exploring new territory. He's a Long Beach, you know, guy. And, you know, my great memories of Long Beach is definitely taking the blue line from downtown Los Angeles, because I'm always trying to advocate and get people to get out of their car. But I understand that everyone has a different routine in life and it's not as easy.
Right.
However, if you can take the time to do it, it's only $1.50 from downtown to Long Beach. And you know, $1.50 back.
That's a bargain.
Yeah. And you don't have to drive.
Right.
You know, and worry about the stress.
Yeah,
yeah, read a book, do some emails for work or something like that. Tell me about Long Beach. You've been living there for how long?
Almost 2 years now.
Right.
So prior to that, I lived on the west side of LA. And, you know, obviously I used to live in Montebello. And then prior to that, Boyle Heights, East LA area. And yes.
Now, you know, in fact, I mean, I've been so immersed in Long Beach culture the last week. I mean, I went to Dark Harbor at the Queen Mary on Halloween. You know, I'd done the episode with Derek. And I also went to the Aquarium of the Pacific Friday night.
Right.
To participate in the Night Dive concert. They call it Night Dive, but I'm not sure if you know this, but the Aquarium of the Pacific turns into like a nightclub. And it's like adults only.
Oh,
and they set up bars.
Was this part of the Harvest Fest? No.
No, they do it every 3 months.
Okay.
And they have bands play in the main hall. So you walk in, and it's like not during the day where you see kids with their
right.
families or schools. So you walk in, the lights are a little more dim, and there's bars set up all over the place so you can have a drink. And, you know, people are dressed up somewhat like they're going out, you know. And but it's casual, you know. At the end of the day, I mean, you could come as you are.
Right. Was Pepper playing there, the band Pepper?
No.
No, okay.
But there is a stage right in front of the main aquarium in the main hall, and they had the bubbles on, and that was the backdrop to the live entertainment. And then, you know, you go through the different little walkways where the aquariums are in the dark rooms, and they had, you know, DJs spinning different types of music in every room while the aquarium, you could touch the jellyfish and listen to dance music. So it was very, you know, it was very interesting. And it lasted
nice.
From 7 to 11. So, I mean, you know, for me, to venture out to Long Beach with or without a car is exciting. I prefer to do it without a car, obviously. But, I mean, there's so many things Long Beach offers. The big destinations like the Queen Mary. The big destinations like the Aquarium of the Pacific. Have you been to any of those places?
Yes, I have. You were just saying about the band's playing. There was a 2-3 months ago, actually, there was the band Pepper, and they had like a whole barbecue thing, Hawaiian thing going on at the Queen Mary. So
cool.
I didn't get a chance to see that. Of course, I've been to the Aquarium of the Pacific. It's great. You know, you could take the whole family there. You know, you check out the penguins, check out the fishes.
It's really fun for adults also.
It's totally fun stuff. So like you were just talking about taking the blue line. I've done that many, 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 many times. So usually a couple of friends from Long Beach, we go take the blue line and, you know, pay $1.50, which is bargain, which, and then
how far will $1.50 get you in gas in LA from downtown to your restaurant, right?
It's about probably it. Something like that. And then after that, you would have to push it, push your car. But so it's great. And, you know, we take that avenue to come down to downtown LA, check out the Laker games, you know, you avoid the hole if you're, you know, driving and, you know, if you're drinking, because, you know, you take one or two beers, you know, at the Laker game. So we try to avoid all that, you know, all that DUI fuzz that comes along with that.
Right. I mean, so basically when you're taking public transportation on a night out between anywhere you go, but tonight we're talking about, you know, Long Beach and LA downtown. I mean, you could go have a night out and have some drinks and not risk drinking and driving, which is a huge dark cloud that's removed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you avoid that whole DUI problems that come along with it. And, you know, a DUI usually costs, what, $10,000, something like that. And, you know, then
plus
you got the legals, plus the classes.
Plus 2 days in jail.
And, you know, the embarrassment, you yeah. know, like, you know, your license being revoked and all these things. So it's good to be, you know, take
responsible.
Responsible and take that cautionary route instead of, you know, and it's $1.50 again, $1.50.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I mean, it's great. If we could ever take a space shuttle from here to the moon and it'll be $1.50, it'll be too much. But not here, not from Long Beach to downtown LA. Yeah, that's
yeah.
a bargain.
Yeah, that's a bargain. You know, in the early 2000s, I was employed at a record company called SST Records. And one of my favorite record labels of all time. I mean, they put out bands like Black Flag, The Meat Puppets, Dinosaur Jr. And I had the honor to work with Greg Ginn, the guitarist from Black Flag who owns that label. And I used to take the blue line from the east side. I would take the 266 bus from Whittier and Rosemead and Pico Rivera to the green line to the blue line, and it would drop me off on 4th Street. Now, the company was on 4th Street before the 4th Street exploded. But one place I used to go to when they opened was a place called The Pike. Not The Pike, but the restaurant, The Pike.
Yeah.
The bar and grill. And I used to go there for lunch and eat their fish and chips. The fish and chips, to me, were the best fish and chips I've had in my entire life. Have you ever been to The Pike?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's, so you know,
like,
The Pike.
That's the staple of, like, I would say one of the
it's an institution,
top four of right? Long Beach. So The Pike, you can see it from far away. It has a big
octopus.
Octopus.
Absolutely.
Me. Octopus out there, and it's all colorful. There's a lot of great pictures of old Long Beach, and, you know, the drinks are good.
Inexpensive.
Banging. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I go and take some Irish car bombs.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is that where you go?
That's where I go and take
Irish
car bombs.
Oh, cool.
It's a great place.
You know, I recently went in there and it was the same feeling. You know, Chris Reese is the owner, and he's the first drummer from Social Distortion.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh,
so awesome. There's a big, you know, legacy of that band kind of attached to that place because of Chris. And, you know, the best thing about it is I like, you know, taking the blue line from downtown and getting off on 4th Street, then taking the Long Beach Transit down 4th, and you're able to do this all without a car. You know, you buy the $5 day pass, you know, I'll go to the Pike, have lunch, you know, see everybody that I know there. And, you know, the food is pretty good. I mean, we're talking about American, you know, yeah. cuisine. And I've had, you know, all their fish plates. They have a really good, you know, very tasty fish selection. And I always go back to the fish and chips. It's really
it's the staple of
it's so
that's
good.
What they do better.
Yeah, and you know, while I'm there in Long Beach, usually I hit Fingerprints Records after, which is a music store, a record store,
right?
You know, on which is closer to Long Beach Boulevard,
right? It's
you know.
It's on 4th Street still,
right?
Yeah,
right.
It's next to the Verlaine Cafe,
right?
Yeah,
yeah, and so. There's just so much to do on a major destination level, like the Queen Mary and, you know, the aquarium and the Pike Plaza where the restaurants and Laugh Factory is. And even on a very independent scale with the Pike restaurant.
Right.
And Fingerprints. What are some of the favorite places you like to go eat? Are there any neighborhood secrets that you could reveal?
Yeah. In downtown Long Beach, I would say top three, I would say the Congregation Bar. Oh man, they have really good selection of beers at affordable prices. So you can have an IPA, you know, something a little more local from San Francisco. They range from $5 to all the way to $17, and that's just one beer, one pint of glass. So that place has opened up about 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. That's one of my favorites. As far as the best, I think burgers, they're on 2nd Street, which is Simsy's. They have a blue cheeseburger with, it's just delicious. It's the meat, it's so tender. It's so good. Let's see. Anything in downtown is pretty chill. You know, you got the Sky Bar.
Yeah.
Where you can go and have a good mimosa on Sundays so you can see the sunrise come down. That's a great place. If you want to be a little bit more romantic, that's not like your dive bar, but still romantic.
Right.
I don't know. You tell me. I think there's so many other, let me see.
There's a great place that I really love to go for brunch. It's called The Reef. The Reef Restaurant. And it's on the side. It's by Shoreline Village.
Okay.
But it's on the side of the Queen Mary.
Okay.
And they have this brunch on Sundays for like $37.
Oh, nice.
And it's all you can eat seafood,
right?
Mexican food, sushi bar, and made to order grill. So if you order a hamburger or a chicken sandwich, they make it when you ask for it, you know. And the seating is on the patio looking at the ocean.
Oh, that's great.
But and the food is so high quality and tasty and just fresh. It's just like, you know, when I go,
yeah,
it's like, you know, I'm gonna go, you know, for 3 hours,
right?
I'm just gonna take my time, I'm gonna turn my phone off, I'm just gonna stare at the ocean, and I'm gonna chew my food. I'm not in a rush.
Now that you said that, that sounds like a great place. It reminds me of this place called El Fuego.
Okay.
And that's at the Hotel Maya. Great ocean view. They have one of the best enchiladas there.
Really?
It's really, really good. It's a little pricey, so it's not really that affordable, but it's a great place to take out your mom on Mother's Day. I did take my mom there. So let's see. That's a great place. You know, you go out there and you just check out the sun view. You get the landscape of Long Beach. You get the aquarium. You get to see all the beautiful beach.
And to enjoy a meal, like when you carve out time to go to a brunch.
Right.
And you say, I have this much time. Like, you know, you're going to give yourself 2 hours, 3 hours. It's kind of like you want a nice scenic backdrop to
right.
help to the tranquility of enjoying, you know, your meal and rejuvenating.
Right, right. And that's what it's all about. Like, when you go out, I always say not to focus so much about in where a place is at. Kind of like Semitas La China Poblana. It's not like so-called trendy neighborhood.
Right.
So, but it's the good atmosphere that you get in.
Once you're in there, immersed in the building with the service.
Right. That's what all about eating is. You know, you have to immerse yourself into a location and really accept the roles that you're given there. You know, like when you go to an Italian place, you want to get that vibe that you're kind of like in Italy, you know, like you want to fool yourself.
It's authentic.
And that's where food meets ambiance, meets great times with friends, which become memorable.
And you know what? Being that you have a business in the East Los Angeles area,
right?
And I'm able to advocate public transportation, I'm so proud of the fact that I've taken friends from the South and the Midwest and the East Coast and Canada to, without a car, saying, you know, you want real East LA? Follow me. And we get on the goal line in the bus. And, you know, I mean, there's, you know, like we were talking about off the mic last episode, you know, there's some interesting stigmas that the East Los Angeles area has for the gangs, et cetera. But in reality, when you go to an establishment like your restaurant, Semitas, you want, you know, whatever's happening on the street level, it's not like it's dangerous because it's not, but some people have a stigma in their head that certain things exist in certain places because of television and movies.
Right.
It isn't true. Because it's things change, you know. Things change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And once you're in your restaurant or you're in another restaurant, you know, it's up to you to be open and take in the vibe of what the people have created there.
Right.
The atmosphere. You immerse yourself. You pick up on the vibe. You enjoy yourself greatly. And by taking public transportation and knowing the stops, you know, we've been able to do a lot in one day and do a lot of tasting and experience things. So, you know, I think walking in, especially people, I think, that are very educated and want to be open and take in new experiences, they're not going to judge the area.
No.
They're going to walk into your restaurant and say, yeah, yeah, this is East LA, so what? Like, I'm here. Feed right. me. And I want to talk to you because, you know, they want to know your vision. You know, is this what's going on?
Yeah, and you just brought up a good point that that a lot of TV and, you know, movies, they paint a picture of East LA, Boyle Heights being a danger zone, or there's gang infestations, or there's a lot of trouble.
Tons of violence like daily.
But that's not really what Boyle Heights in the East LA community is.
And as a resident of 3 years, I could attest to that. Yeah. You know, I hardly see gang riding.
Right.
I hardly hear gunshots.
Yeah.
I mean, it was worse when I lived in Pico Rivera. It was.
Really?
It was. It really was. I heard gunshots. I heard the ghetto bird.
Yeah.
You know, the writing on the wall, and, you know, things were visible.
Yeah. And there's no problem with having all those things when you hear gunshots. That means that, you know, your neighborhood is in turmoil, and that means that people have to go out there and communicate amongst each other. So I don't think when you say that a place is ghetto, it doesn't mean that it's really ghetto. I think there's a lot of pride into those neighborhoods, and people have to come together and communicate their problems or their different views. So, you know, and like I was saying, East LA and Boyle Heights, it's one of the safest areas that I've been to. You know, at night you go in there, you know, you can ask for directions and somebody will talk to you in Spanish, most likely.
Yeah, but everyone's very friendly. Yeah. You go to a gas station and there's, hey, what's up? You know, like. Yeah.
So those.
I like my keys in my car. I don't want to call AAA. Help right. me.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you got to jump, you know, for the battery. You know, I mean, it's very friendly and very communicative. Right. And I think that, you know, that's just a universal trait that us humans have. I mean, right. It's common courtesy. It's helping one another.
Definitely.
You know, doing the right thing. Now, as far as live music, because you did bring up Pepper, live music in Long Beach. And I'll tell you right now, you know, from experience, I've played and gone to some great shows.
Right.
As I've played as an artist and have attended as a fan, a venue called Alex's Bar on Anaheim.
Yeah.
And that's a great venue. Holds about 300 people.
Orquestera.
Yeah. Guessera. I haven't been there in quite some time. The Prospector. Have you been to The Prospector?
Yes.
Yeah. What's your favorite out of all those? Do you have a favorite?
I love Quesera.
Yeah?
I don't know. I just like the vibe there and, you know, the crowd that goes there. I think it's a little bit more hip-hop and it's definitely more DJ-orientated. So it's
not as rock-based.
Nah.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a place where you go in there with a dry white shirt and you come out soaking.
You go and dance the night away.
Yeah. And then there's the 7-Eleven across the street so you can just hydrate back on. And then there's the bus stop so then you can go back to downtown LA. If you
right,
want to.
Right. What about the V Room? You ever been there?
Yes.
Ferns?
Yes. I love the V Room. The V Room is also another great place. Let's see. What other place? What's that one?
The Piazza.
Piazza.
Have you ever been to D Piazza?
No, I haven't. Which
one? It's on Pacific Coast Highway, and it's an Italian restaurant.
Is it?
Yeah.
No,
Mark D Piazza is the owner. He has a stage and a live music venue, so
right.
they've done great gigs there. I mean, I've seen Marky Ramone from the Ramones.
Oh, no way.
You know, there's been a lot of other local bands playing there, but, you know, that's all the places we named. Thankfully, it has its own vibe. Nothing replicates each other.
Nah.
There's a lot of charisma. It has its own characteristics. Don't you agree?
I definitely agree. I think Long Beach has everything in for everybody. You know, like if you want, you know, certain type of food, you have the Cocorino. It's like Mexican food. It's fast food. You know, it's like a dive bar. So there's different things for different people. Like what I noticed this year is that the city is allowing, like, you know, bands to come out and play at the beach.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's more community-oriented progress. The arts has a bigger platform because that's what people want. I mean, no, there's big events like the Grand Prix.
Right.
Obviously, that's huge. And it's been an ongoing thing forever. But, you know, there's also...
Well, TED was there at the TED convention. Unfortunately, they're moving that.
At the Queen Mary, you mean?
No. The TED. I don't know if you where they come the innovations for technology, culture.
Yeah.
TED. So they this was their last year, and so now they're moving, I think, to Seattle. They're having it now from there on.
You know, there's also a what's interesting is skateboarding, snowboarding, and surfing. There's an ASR. It's called ASR, Action Sports Retail. That's the industry. They have their trade show at the Long Beach Convention Center. I'm not sure if you know that.
No, I didn't know.
But that's like, you know, that's where all the companies, the skate companies, like Vans, World Industries, you know, they come and they do a trade show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that happens too. I mean, right down the street from your house.
Right there.
You know? What about coffee? I mean, independent places. Are there any coffee shops that you like?
Well, there's Ashley's, which is on 2nd Street. They have great coffee there. Coffee places. Let's see. There wasn't one that opened. There was close to the on 3rd Street, but they closed it down. So, you know, just like everything, you know, new businesses come and old businesses go out of the way. So, as far as coffee, I love 7-Eleven. Why am I gonna lie? I'm not gonna give you. I don't like Starbucks. You know, Starbucks is great, great coffee. You know, Coffee Bean is great too, but. I'm a 7-Eleven kind of guy.
And are you really?
Yes. I think because when I was growing up, me and my dad used to always, you know, we used to recoger cartón, you know. So that means, you know, because we would sell el cartón para venderlo, you know.
Yeah.
So we would always stop at 7-Eleven. And I thought, man, I can't wait to get to 7-Eleven, you know, grab myself a little of milk and some a banana and things like that. And my dad would always get coffee. So that's how my dad introduced me to coffee at the age of 8 years old.
8 years old. Hey, listen, you know, the one thing I wanted to bring to light was, you know, there's definitely a big Long Beach explosion. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, I would go to see big heavy metal concerts at the Long Beach Arena.
Right.
And, you know, that's where they would, you know, before there was LA Live or Staples Center, there would be, you know, the shows would be at the Forum or the LA Sports Arena or the Long Beach Arena. And that was before the Blue Line. And it was always, you know, even when you're little, like, it was a trek. And I just feel like I have so much freedom when I could leave downtown Los Angeles after, you know, on a Sunday, you go to, you know, a Clipper or a Laker game or a Kings game at the Staples Center, and you're out by 3 or 4, and you're like, oh, well, there's a Blue Line. Let's go to Long Beach.
Right.
And you got your monthly pass. It's not going to cost you nothing. And just, you know, the dynamic of sitting and riding public transportation, for me, it's priceless, because when you're driving, you don't see the city the same way when you're taking public transportation,
right,
whether it's a bus, a light rail train, or a train, because you're connecting with it in a different way. You're not paying attention to the road, so you're able to look to your left, to your right, and see things and chew on it and let all this backdrop and geography and structures and people resonate with you.
Right.
And for me, it's inspiration. It translates into inspiration to create music, to take photography, to do this show. And I, you know, I think that's one of the things that's a benefit of taking public transportation. Two is you save money.
Right.
Three is you're not stressed.
Four, you could say that you could
drink and not drive.
Drink and not drive.
So that's like we're at, you know, we're leaving a Laker or Clipper game. We're like, well, we're going to Long Beach now. We're going to drink some more.
Well, I don't know if I want to drink too much that I can't even walk.
You know, I can't even walk. And then you're backing, you let the MTA do the driving.
Yeah.
You know? And so when I take public transportation most of the time, and, you know, I get to like a Long Beach, I just feel so like unbinded to a vehicle. I don't have to find parking. I don't have to circle a building to find free street parking or pay 12 or 15 bucks a park. You know, I just get off and I just walk and connect. And it makes, you know, going to Long Beach in that way of going and commuting, it's like, so when you get to a destination like Long Beach, it's just so much more pleasant because you could just go on foot. And, you know, if it becomes an inconvenience, you could take a short cab or get on a bus.
Right.
You know, I mean, have you ever taken a Blue Line from downtown to Long Beach?
Oh, or vice versa? All the time. I do it all the time. Like I was saying, you know,
it makes you think, doesn't it? When you go through all the different neighborhoods.
It's great because, you know, I just grab a book and I start just reading. And sometimes, you know, it's not like I'm trying to read like 10 pages. Sometimes I just take it to read 2 pages and really absorb those 2 pages and what those 2 pages really mean about something. So, and then, you know, somebody asks you a question like, oh, what are you reading? And then you'll go on and tell them, oh, it's this story about so-and-so-and-so. And you, then you start talking with your neighbor, which usually you Fantastic. Never have the time or pleasure. You can't talk to your... to someone else different on if you're driving on the freeway or on the street. You can't have that same communications. And that's one of the priceless things about, you know, taking the metro or taking, you know, public transportation. You get to communicate and connect with different people.
Yeah, part of going, bringing up the whole process of going car free and through my perspective and experience and arriving out of Long Beach is like, wow, that was easy and cheap. You know, and you're walking more, so you just got more. There's more pros and cons,
right?
And it's exciting. The cool thing is, one thing I wanted to point out was, you know, I would say the main destination for me growing up, you know, before I was taking the MTL over, was, you know, like the high school years for me in the 90s was Shoreline Village. I mean, now they have a yard house there, but I would go with my family. My parents would take me and nice. My siblings, and we just walk along. And like look at the city from that perspective.
Right.
There was this great Greek place we'd eat at. And I forgot what it was called. But, you know, that was my first introduction to Greek food was there at Shoreline Village.
Oh, no way.
And then, you know, walk on the trail.
Yeah.
You know, and just look at the Queen Mary. It looks so monstrous and so big. It's just a beautiful backdrop. And one thing that I want to tie, a city I want to tie into this is San Pedro.
Right.
Because of the two bridges. You know, and it's always nice just to like, you know, get in a car to experience that. I mean, because it feels very Bay Area-ish, very San Francisco, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it definitely does. I think the guy who designed that bridge actually was the same guy who almost, they had some kind of tie-in with the San Francisco
Island. There's a lineage there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, I don't know if you heard, but they're actually going to make a new bridge there that will have the ability for pedestrians to either walk, run, or bike.
That's fantastic.
It'll be like a Brooklyn Bridge. So I think that's coming. I think they're doing the building right now, and it's coming in. I think they're going to open it up in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. So you got to look out for that. So once you take, if you start in downtown LA and you take the blue line to Long Beach, from there on, you could just like hop on a bike, or because they're going to have bike rentals. I can assure you some business will have that. And then you can go to San Pedro. And see your friends in San Pedro or see something different. Because there's a lot of places in San Pedro, too. There's great shrimp. I don't know if you've been to the...
Ports of Call?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Best shrimp ever. They give you these giant-sized freaking things. And they're like, where do you catch these shrimp?
Camarón, right?
This is camarón. It's tan grande. And yeah. it's just great. And, you know, you go out there with the whole family. I was actually there when Mexico, en las Olimpiadas, the sub-17,
yeah.
Le ganaron a Brasil. That day, me and my girlfriend went there. It was a Mexican celebration. It was Cinco de Mayo.
Unscheduled. It was Cinco de Mayo.
No, it was it because it was the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. The Olympics, yeah.
It was the Olympics.
That's it. It was unscheduled. No one knew they were going to win.
No. Everybody was rocking their Mexican jerseys, you know, grupos por aquí, grupos por allá, rancheras. It was awesome. And the whole San Pedro was like fully packed.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that. And it wasn't an unscheduled event partly because Mexico ganó.
That's fantastic. One fun fact I want to bring up for you, because not a lot of people remember this or talk about this, but there is an amusement, a water marine base, like a SeaWorld called Marineland, and it was in Cabrillo Beach.
Oh, really?
And it was right off, Cabrillo Beach is right by San Pedro,
right
off the cliff, and it was like LA SeaWorld. It was called Marineland.
Oh, no way.
And that was, you know, since we're on the topic of Long Beach and San Pedro, there's, you know, that little, it's a small city,
right.
Cabrillo Beach. So that, you know, Cabrillo Beach, they actually have a museum. And that's something you should see, the Cabrillo Beach Museum.
Oh, no way.
It's
I've never
cool.
heard about
it's all,
it.
It's all like ocean life. You got to see it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it on the list, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, Cabrillo Beach. So Marineland, you know, it's obviously defunct now, but that was a destination that was in that region. That was, you know, a big major destination like an aquarium or a Queen Mary. So I thought you would appreciate that.
No, man. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. I didn't know that. See, you learn something every day. You know, I got to check that out.
Okay. So before we go, tell me why you end up moving to Long Beach. Why did you choose Long Beach?
There is too many variables, none that I can say all at once, but I really fell in love with the city. Just like I love Boyle Heights because of the people, the culture, the food, and just there's a lot of history for me in Boyle Heights that you know, I'm always going to be attached to Boyle Heights. I'm always going to go back to it. I'm always going to hang out with my friends there. I'm always going to see new places to experience. So it's one of those places that it's continually evolving. And when I choose a neighborhood, I choose a neighborhood based on the people, on how organic the people are. And I hate to say this, but real, keeping it real. People that are really genuine about
sincere and genuine
and they're not just about the status leader and they're not just about their careers. They have lives about their careers. These are people who are blue collars, gray collars, white collars, and you could tell that there's something more than meets the eye. And that's really why I picked it, because of that, the people.
And at the end of the day, it's just a human quality that we all could appreciate. Was just connecting with your fellow human, your brother and sister. That's what it is.
It really is that. And then you go back again to, we go back again to taking public transportation.
Same thing.
You connect with people, you talk with them, you hear their stories, they hear your stories. And maybe you don't ever become real true friends or like, I mean, not true friends, excuse me, real life friends, but it's like a book that is being written about your life that
absolutely
these people will have, drop some type of knowledge that you will carry on probably on.
Right. And you truly learn how to live in a moment and take in what they have to say to you, let it resonate, and it serves its purpose at the moment.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's plenty of times.
It's like a book, you know, like, yeah. You know, when the main character finds himself with someone else and that chapter, it only lasts a few seconds, a few sentences. But you know, those are the memorable parts. It's the little things, the little moments where you realize, man, you know, I'm more lucky to have it this way, you know, because you know sometimes you see people that are not less fortunate, and you realize, man, I'm really fortunate.
Exactly, and it's an awakening. Plus, yeah. The way you look out the window and you see more, so you connect with your city in a more pure and you know perspective without less distractions, with like keeping your eyes on the road. Well, with that being said, that wraps the 77th episode of Los Angeles Nista. It was a Boyle Heights and Long Beach episode. Thank you very much.